Okay. Paul, would you grab some bulletins? And raise your hand if you do not have a bulletin. I want every person to have a bulletin. Okay? There's one over here. There's some over here. Okay, good. Everybody, there's some upstairs. Justin, would you grab some bulletins and take them upstairs? You might have to give them from Paul. Paul got them all. That's an all Paul. Okay, everybody have one? We're getting close. Calm down, he says. Okay, thank you very much. Before I start, I want to clarify. Last Sunday, I was talking about God speaks to us through creation. I talked a little bit about evolutionary theory and said that I didn't think my opinion is that evolution as a fact of origins of our world didn't exist. The theory of evolution didn't exist. And no one talked to me about this, but I think God just kind of convicted me that if you hold a different viewpoint than me, that's okay. I don't want to dismiss anyone who has viewpoints different than myself. I don't want to dismiss. So if you felt dismissed, if you felt like, Delbert, you're out to lunch, I mean, that's okay, but I don't want to do that to anybody, okay? If we have different viewpoints and want to talk about it, love to do that kind of stuff. And we can talk very calmly about things that we differ on, right? And because that's what adults do. So, all right, take your sermon outline out of your bulletin. Open it up. And to be people of the Word, we have to be familiar with navigating God's Word. Okay? For example, the book of Malachi, New Testament or Old? Okay, Old Testament. The book of Revelation. New. Okay, very good. And how many chapters in the book of Matthew? 28. Very good. All right, good. And learning just how to navigate a scripture. And so, got a pop quiz for you today. All right. It's just do it home. You can do it here if you know the answers real quick. But I want to keep us involved and get our noses into the Word of God and how to navigate through it. Where is that book? What is the major theme of Genesis? What is the major theme of Revelation? And getting some ideas about that, because when the attacks of Satan come, one of the mistakes we can make, brothers and sisters, now hear this, one of the mistakes we can make is that without knowing God's Word very well, we have an emotional response to an attack instead of a biblical one. I feels like God is doing this to me. And completely way off base because you don't know Scripture. Right? How often do we say, it just feels like, okay, I say those words too because I'm a feel kind of guy. That's how I phrase my thoughts. Kayla's a thinker. She doesn't say feel, she says I think. And so we have different ways of expressing what's going on the inside. But to say it feels like God is doing this or he's doing that, when we pray and say, God, I need an answer, I need your wisdom. And then we never get into Scripture. And then something happens, circumstances, something happens in the situation, and you go, oh, that must mean. But you don't know because you don't know God's Word. Is it really this God speaking, or is this just a situation that happened? And we'd like to look at the easy stuff, feelings and situations, circumstances, and say, this is what God's doing. This is the answer to my prayer. And never cracked open the Bible. Brothers and sisters, that's an easy way to get led astray. That's why I'm doing this series on who God is, how he communicates to us. And so today, we're answering the question, how does God speak to us? How can we hear him accurately? A couple of weeks ago, I asked if you believed God speaks. How many of you believe God speaks to mankind today? Okay, now put your hands down. Now, without raising your hand, how many of you feel like, or see, there's the feel word again. How many of you believe you can hear God accurately? That's a little different answer, isn't it? Because, wow, I don't know if I'm hearing God right or not. Yeah, I kind of want to say yes, but sometimes I'm not sure. And yeah. Well, God speaks. He speaks mainly through words. The question we're asking this is, how can we know when we hear God's voice accurately? Because we are created in his image, okay? We're created in his image, his nature, his character. We can, God made us so that we can know him and understand, what's the word? Larry, Kopik, where are you? The C word. Comprehend, thank you. We can comprehend God's word. Not just know that it's words on a page, but comprehend, understand what it's saying to us.
Dad, I think your word needs to be the R word, remember.
Yeah, really. Yeah. You know, today, this morning, I went over to the house to get something, and by the time I got there, and I had to sit down and think about it, and it finally came to me. You know how it is. I've been there, done that, yeah. Even though we desire to know God and know his will, we all have wondered at times if we're hearing God correctly. So let's learn how we can hear God's voice accurately by first, are you ready? By first learning how God communicates to us. That's important to know. Otherwise, I might be going to places and saying that's God's voice to me when it's not. Amen. Excuse me. I get my water over here. I've been suffering from a little bit of a cold. So last week we talked about how God communicates to us in general ways. He communicates through creation. We talked about that last week. He communicates through his general grace and his provision, Psalm 65. Excuse me. And he communicates through our conscience that he gave us. Okay, our conscience. Your conscience is not the word of God. But God gave you a conscience that the Holy Spirit uses to help you know the difference between right and wrong. Someone who's never, ever seen the single word of Scripture can say that's wrong. Or that's good. How do they know that? Only someone who knows good and evil put that there when he created you. So God communicates to us in general ways. Today we're going to see that God wasn't satisfied to communicate with you only in general ways. Why? Because in general ways you can know that God is creator, but that's as far as it goes. We need to know more. We need to know God is Savior as well. And that comes through God communicating to us in specific ways. Excuse me. Through God's general communication, we can know there's a Creator, but it doesn't tell us that God is our Savior, Jesus Christ. This knowledge comes in specific, special, and unique kind of communication. To know what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are like, we need to pay attention to God's word. We need to know that the Son of Man came and did what was required in order to pay for our sins and to know the purpose for us in our world. And we need God's specific communication, which is God's written word, the Holy Bible. If you brought a Bible today, raise it up. Raise it up. Let's see your weapon there. Let's say you're the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, there you go. God's holy word. He speaks to you through his word. Know it. Believe it. Read it. Memorize it, because you're memorizing the mind of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You're memorizing his mind for you when you put scripture in your mind. For example, going through a tough temptation, when you have memorized scripture, you don't need to run to your Bible to try to find it. It's already there. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. When you have the mind of Christ, you can say, no, this is an attack, yes, but I know God has provided me strength to endure this. So I do not need to escape it. Because James tells me in chapter 1 that if I will not escape the trials in my life, God's going to use that to help me learn how to persevere and also mature me so that I'm lacking nothing. The mind of Christ. Powerful? Know the mind of Christ. Brothers and sisters, if I can encourage you in any way to get into your Word of God so the Word of God gets into you and you know it, it takes work and discipline. Yes, it does. Turn off the TV. To know what God is doing, what he is like, what he's thinking, we need to be in the Word of God. Well, what is the Holy Bible? Since the books of the Bible were written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 authors who live on three different continents, Africa, Asia, Europe, in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, think about the Bible as a library of 66 books that reveal God's heart and his mind to you. The Old Testament and the New Testament are not independent of each other. Think of them this way. The Old Testament is where God gives his promises of hope and restoration. That's about Jesus, Isaiah. The New Testament is where God fulfills those promises as well as describes the coming fulfillment of promises about Christ's return. To hear God accurately, you must trust that the Bible is God's complete revelation of his nature and his will to you. And I use the word complete. Sorry, I turned that down a little earlier. It's getting kind of chilly in here, isn't it? I use the word complete not to mean that God has told us everything he knows, but he's told us everything we need to know about him. All right? I think John chapter 20, John says that if we were to write down everything we saw God do, we saw Jesus do, that would the world couldn't contain. We need to know how to become aware of the hero of the Bible, Jesus Christ. We need to know how to accept Jesus as the only one who can save us from our sin. And we need to know how to live according to his will and his purpose on earth. Some have said that the Old Testament is about God and Israel, while the New Testament is about Jesus and Christians. Actually, both the Old and New Testament are about Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, and he quoted the Old Testament over 300 times. You can see it in scriptures. The New Testament quotes the Old Testament over 300 times. Jesus said this about himself. When he said to the Jews, "You search the scriptures." Now, when Jesus said the word scriptures, what book is he referring to? The Old Testament. "You quote the scriptures," he said, because, well, Jesus, the New Testament hasn't been written yet. "You search the Old Testament scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." And this is what they, the scriptures that bear witness about me, It is the scriptures. The Old Testament bear witness about me, Jesus said. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Jesus is confronting a misconception. Follow the Old Testament law. It's in the doing that we're saved. It's my doing, my complete obedience to the law. Well, Jesus comes along in the New Testament and says, you break one rule of the Old Testament, it's like you've broken them all. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. That's why we needed God's grace. The first step in learning to hear God accurately is to agree that God commanded God has communicated himself accurately to you. Okay, I'm going to say this one more time. Listen closely. In the first step of learning to hear God accurately, it is to agree with God that he has accurately communicated himself to you. Do you agree with that? Are you going to be like Benjamin Franklin, who took his Bible and sat down with it and took a razor blade and cut out the parts he didn't like? We have a tendency to do that. We just don't use a razor blade. Right? I don't like that part. I'm not going to read that part. I'm not going to try to understand that because I don't like what it says. God has communicated himself accurately to you. I've been in the last, month and a half, I've really slowed myself down, and for the first time in my entire life, I'm reading the book of Leviticus and Numbers. Slowly. Not skimming, so I can check it off. Yeah, I read that chapter. And in fact, I pulled out a commentary, and I'm going through the commentary, and boy, am I learning about God. You know what God wants in the book of Leviticus? He wants you to be very careful about following his ways of worshiping him. Don't be sloppy about it. Don't add your own stuff to it. I can worship God out in the woods. I don't need to be gathered together. Hebrews 10, 24, do not give up the habit of meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day is what? Jesus' return approaching. Boy, howdy, we need each other. Let me give you some reasons why you can trust that God has communicated to you accurately. God's written word, his special communication to you, you can trust for these reasons. Number one, it was not written by men alone. There's an accusation out there or a distrust statement that says, oh, guys just put it together. They wrote up a story. But men guided by God. When I was a youth pastor in Cottage Grove about 20 years ago, I had my youth group. It was about 40 kids at the time, and I broke them up into small groups. And I said, okay, guys, I want you to write a story about a puppy. Everybody's going to write a story about a puppy. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm not going to tell you anything about his personality. You write about that. And then we're going to come together and put all your stories into one story, and we'll read it together. And guess what? It was such a disjointed story. It had puppy doing that, then contradicting itself and doing that instead, and different names, and it was all... Why did that happen? Because there was no one guiding them, me, telling them how to write the story. In Scripture, God has given to men, 40 different men, 40 plus, on three different continents, over a period of 1,500 years. Some of these men didn't even know each other. They couldn't collaborate. In three different languages, and yet when we read Scripture, from beginning to end, we see this theme. Someone is coming, someone has come, and someone is coming again. That does not happen unless there is a person, the personhood of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who is guiding men, amen, to make that happen. This is one of the miracles of God. He has communicated to us himself accurately. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16, says this. This is Peter preaching. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses. That's an important piece right there, eyewitnesses, who wrote about his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Verse 18, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Peter is telling, he's giving his testimony. He said, "I heard the voice too. I didn't make this up. I was there. I heard it." Verse 19, "And we have the word of the prophets," the Old Testament, "made more certain." How? And you will do well to pay attention to it, "as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts," Jesus Christ, reference to him. Verse 20, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy, no writing of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation." I think that word means this. I'll just write it down that way. No, didn't happen that way. Verse 21, "For prophecy never had its origin or its beginnings in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Powerful testimony here as to the uniqueness of Scripture and to the accuracy of Scripture. Guided and directed by God. The Bible is not men and God deciding what should be written, nor is it men taking God's ideas, adding their own ideas and stories and saying, "Here's the Word of God." The Bible is not dictation from God to mindless men who are just, what do they call that? I forget the writing when you're overtaken by a spirit and you're just doing the writing. Anyway, it's not that. Men are not just carried along by a spirit and are mindlessly taking down dictation. The Bible is not a book of religious ideas and good sayings, as many liberal professors of religion claim it to be. The Bible is the result of what is called divine inspiration. Divine meaning what? From God. And inspiration meaning God is the source. He made this thoughts from him become on paper through the hearts and minds of men. This means that the authors were prepared by God. Read these scriptures, by the way, when you get home tonight. Read these scriptures. Use these scriptures I've listed here. I take the time to dig them out and give them to you. Read them. Use that for further study, brothers and sisters. This is a good way to continue to learn what God's given us in the message today. So the authors were prepared by God, like Paul and Jeremiah. The authors were supervised by the Holy Spirit. The authors wrote God's word through their own personalities and their circumstances. This is why, for example, we can distinguish Paul's writing from Peter's writing, because Paul writes like he talks, as most of us do. And we know how Peter talks, and he writes like he talks, and we can make a distinction. Oh, that's Paul there. I can tell that easy. I've heard him enough. I know what he's talking about. I know what he's like. We conclude that God worked through human authors to produce exactly God's perfect and complete communication to you and me. So let's attribute to the Bible the quality and the accuracy and the authority God attributes to it. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We've already read it twice today. Let's hear it again. "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness." What are these four words, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness? What does that look like in daily life? It looks like this. The Word of God is useful, beneficial, powerful for teaching, showing you how to get onto the path of Jesus. Rebuking, showing you where you got off the path of Jesus. correcting, showing you how to get back on the path of Jesus, and training in righteousness, how to stay on the path of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it's that simple. The Word of God is powerful to help you stay on this path. And it's a great path. It's the path. What is the result if you will place yourself under the authority of God and submit yourself to obey His Word? Well, you have in your bulletin a list of some benefits. This is not an inclusive or exhaustive list by any means. But if you surrender your life to God and obey Him, you become thoroughly equipped for every good work. Instead of looking for a way out of hardship, you stand firm in your faith, and you let the experience mature your faith deeper and deeper. You know how to get back on track with God when you sin. You have certainty in knowing how you have eternal life. Certainty! I talked with a woman who was 93 years old. And I said, "You've been in church all your life, haven't you?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Aren't you so glad that when you die, heaven is your home?" And she goes, "Oh, I hope so, but I don't know." What did she not know? "I hope so, but I don't know." She did not know certainty of her salvation. And at 93 years old, death is not too far away for her. "I hope so, but I don't know." Brothers and sisters, do you know the certainty of your salvation? God has accurately communicated that answer to you, 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony. We have eternal life. Life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who love the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Okay, the word "know" in Greek is the word gnosko. Everybody say gnosko. Okay, that's not just an academic meaning of knowing. It's an experiential knowing as well. I take the Word of God, I put my faith to it, and I say, "Yes, Jesus, this is true." And my experiences in life support His truth. Okay, I have to say this. I got a minute to do this. I have to say this because I want to really clarify. I'll say it many times over the years of ministry. But I want you to know this piece, because this will give you faith and confidence in your salvation. Here it is. In Romans chapter 3, Paul talks about all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Oh, boy, that's me. Fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned. But Jesus died to justify, to make you justified. Okay? What does that mean? He says it this way. You are justified by your faith in Christ. Okay? I hear the words. I see the words. What does that mean? How can I get some sort of clarity and some confidence out of that statement? It looks like this. When you are putting your faith in Christ, what you're saying is this. You're saying it to God. "God, I know that what Jesus did on the cross fully and completely satisfied your demand that sinners be punished. It is finished." Okay? "God, I agree with you." Okay? That's another word for confession. "I agree with you that what Jesus did on the cross fully and satisfied your demand that sinners be punished." Now, when you come under the blood of Jesus, you acknowledge Him, you hear Him, you believe in Him, you confess that He is the only one who can save you, that you are a sinner, you repent. It's an ongoing work of changing your values to His values, and you're baptized into Him. You are saying, "God, I agree with you that what Jesus did on the cross fully," catch that word, "fully and completely satisfied your demand that sinners be punished. And now Jesus has took that upon Himself. You don't put it on me now, because you've already put it on Him. I don't have to be punished. So don't walk around in fear of being punished. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Woo! Everybody wiggle a little bit. This is good. Your faith in Christ. That's what that means. I agree with you, God. What you did on the cross, or Jesus, what you did on the cross, fully and completely satisfied God's demand, sinners be punished. When you surrender your life to God and obey Him, you have the certainty of knowing you have eternal life. God has given you everything you need for a God-centered life, 2 Peter tells us. You know that your deepest needs in Christ are met in Him. Your deepest needs are met in Christ. Excuse me. Every human has the same basic needs because we're created by the same God. And I believe God created us to have needs that can be met by Him and met by other human beings. Therefore, we need each other. Your basic needs are to know that you are secure. That answers the question, am I safe? Okay, write that in on your outline. Answers the question, am I safe? Look up those scriptures later on today. Number two, you have the need to know your identity in Christ. That answers the question, who am I? Kayla and I sing a song by the Rostovit twins, Who Am I? Beautiful, beautiful song. Thirdly, you have a need to know your purpose, which answers the question, what am I to do? What is my purpose on earth? What am I to do? And fourthly, you have a need to know that your life has meaning. Yeah, life has meaning. Answers the question, why am I here? That's right. Why am I here? Look up these scriptures. Do some more study. The first step of hearing God accurately is to recognize that God has accurately told you who He is and what He is like through His written word. I hope this is sinking in, that you have confidence in God's word. The first step to hearing God accurately is to read daily and comprehend His good word to you. Gain the mind of Christ in your life. Encourage you to memorize one scripture a month. In 1 year, you'll have 12 scriptures memorized. And you'll be amazed at how many times you'll refer back to those scriptures as life happens. Memorize. Why? Because His word reveals the mind of Christ. And you want the mind of Christ in you. So let's respond to God today. Get into God's word so His word can get into you. Be faithful. Okay? I didn't think I would ever do this, but I read more here on YouVersion than I do there anymore. Because I can't always have that with me. But this is mostly with me most of the time. And I get on YouVersion, and you know, I'm reading, and I can highlight things, and I can look up stuff, and I'm reading, and it tells me when I've missed a day. Delbert, woohoo! Missed a day. Delbert, woohoo! Missed 2 days. And then it celebrates with me. Delbert, you've read 5 days in a row, woo! Get in God's word. And then jot a few notes. God will always, most of the time, God will give you something that tickles your heart, that touches your mind, that convicts you of a change that needs to be made. God is always at work to draw you to Himself, John 6:44. C.S. Lewis said, in commanding us to glorify Him, God is inviting us to enjoy Him. Enjoy your Father in heaven. Today, I'm giving you an assignment. Will you do it? Do you want to know what it is first? Make a plan. Dave Ramsey says, children do what feels good in the moment. Adults make a plan and stick to it. Be an adult. Get into God's Word. Make a plan of how you're going to read. Get into God's Word daily, okay? Start with an easy book, a short book. You know, the book of John is an awesome book. Genesis, boy, there's some good reading in there. Okay? And read and jot a few notes. Maybe some questions. Maybe a prayer. Maybe a praise. And the Word of God will start becoming part of you in your faith DNA. I want you to respond to God today. And our response song today is going to be a video. And Paul, would you close those curtains over there, please? It's a video, and it's a song, and you're welcome to sing along with the song. But as you sing this song, whether you're standing or sitting, I don't care how you want to respond to that. Respond to God who has accurately communicated himself to you. Amen? Your God loves you. I love you. I believe in you. Brothers and sisters, let's be people of the Word. Amen? Amen. Let's respond to God today.